We're going to look at Psalm 51 again, and this is our time of confession of sin as we come before our merciful Heavenly Father and receive His promise to forgive us once again. And so we're going to look at Psalm 51, this prayer of confession from David, and we're reading verses 5 through 9 and focusing on verse 8. So hear now God's word, Psalm 51, verse 5. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. This is God's word. So last time, we looked at verse 7, and we saw how David used this picture of the hyssop branch, that he wanted this cleansing, and this hyssop branch was used in the Old Testament rites, where they would dip it in blood, and then they would sprinkle it upon the person. And so he's envisioning this cleansing that God is going to do as God forgives his sins. And so we saw how he spoke about sin produces guilt, it produces defilement. Now, as we move to verse 8, we observe another consequence of sin. One of the consequences of sin is that it destroys our joy. It takes away our gladness. It says that his bones had been broken. He says, I want joy and gladness, Lord. The bones you have broken may rejoice. They've been broken by the conviction of sin. The law of God exposing this wretched condition that he had brought himself into. So let's consider the language of verse 8, and then we'll apply it to ourselves as we confess our sins. I'm going to take the second line first, where David says, the bones you have broken may rejoice. And this is a remarkable thing to say about the depth of conviction that David felt. Now, as he's not speaking physically here, we know that. We also know that he's not just talking about something he did. It says that the bones were broken by the Lord. That the bones you, Lord, have broken may rejoice. And so what I think David is describing is this genuine, deep, real conviction of sin that the Lord had awakened him to. It's as if the law of God, which condemned his sins that he had committed, came to him and broke his bones. He felt crippled under the weight of guilt as he contemplated the law of God. It's as if the law acted as a hammer just to whack the bones and to break the bones. And now he needs healing. He needs restoration. He wants the joy and the gladness that comes from God's forgiveness and this communion with the Lord. And yet, if God has broken the bones, David can't fix it. The Lord must grant the joy and the gladness. I think Paul in Romans 7 is describing this feeling, the bones being broken in Romans 7, when he talks about how the law of God exposed the sin in his heart and it killed him. Romans 7, 7 through 11, Paul says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law, for I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, you shall not covet. But sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desire. For apart from the law, sin was dead. I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment which was to bring life, I found to bring death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it killed me. I think there may be some parallel here between what David is experiencing from his sin, the bones broken, and then Paul saying, when I came against this 10th commandment, you shall not covet, I died. Because how many times have I broken that commandment? The word is like a hammer, And it breaks the bones. It produces this sense of guilt, the sense of fear, and even perhaps a dread of the judgment of God to come. And so Paul says in Romans 7 later on, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" And so this severe sense of conviction. So I think what this teaches us is that when the Spirit of God applies the Word of God to our hearts and diagnoses us, our conviction of sin is not going to be this passing, slight, bare concern of ours. It's going to feel like our bones have been broken. We're going to sense this weight and this reality that sin is a very serious thing, and it is taking away our joy. It is producing misery. Satan will lie to us. He will tell us that sin will produce satisfaction. That's what he said to Adam and Eve. You will be as gods. And yet instead, it only produced death. Satan continues the same lies today. He will lie to you about your sin. He will promise satisfaction, but the only result will be sorrow and misery. And so if the law of God breaks the bones, then how do we get back to joy and gladness? How are we restored? That's what David is ultimately praying for. He says, "Make me hear joy and gladness. I can't make it up myself. I can't whip it up. Lord, grant it. The bones you've broken, I want those bones to rejoice. I want them to be healed and restored." Now, where does this joy and gladness come? Well, we're not going to make it up ourselves. We're not going to get it by just distracting ourselves from the real problem. The answer is that the joy comes when God declares to us, "Your sins are forgiven." And I think maybe the healing stories in the Gospels where Jesus heals sick men and blind men and paralyzed men is actually a very important picture for us to keep in mind. We sometimes read these healing narratives and we think, oh, that's just physical healing. That's not really related to us in terms of our spiritual condition. But no, I think the healing narratives of the Gospels are very important for understanding the saving work of Christ. If our bones have been broken by sin, then we are just like that paralytic who had to be carried to Jesus. You remember in Mark 2 when the men carried their friend on the bed and they couldn't get into the house, so they went on top of the house and they removed the roof tiles and they lowered that man down, asking Jesus to heal him. And what did Jesus say to this man? "Son, your sins are forgiven you." That's what he needed the most. Sure, Jesus is going to get his legs working again, but he needs healing for this awful, awful thing called sin that has been so destructive. And so this is what produces joy and gladness, brothers and sisters. This is something that is solid. It really addresses the real problem. When Jesus says to you, "Your sins are forgiven," that is cause for joy. That is cause for gladness. And that is what heals the broken bones that the law of God has crushed. And so what this means for our time of confession here on the Lord's Day, and our own private times of confession, is that if we would have joy and gladness produced by the Spirit of God, we need to confess our sins. We need to join David in his prayer and say, "Lord, my bones are broken. I feel paralyzed. I feel destroyed. I feel weak. I am helpless. Lord, grant me that joy. Grant me that gladness. Restore to me the joy of your salvation." And it's my heart's desire and prayer that each one of us know in the depths of our being the reality of that joy and gladness, not produced by worldly considerations, not whipped up in our own strength, but a joy that comes from the words of Christ applied by the Spirit of God. "Son, daughter, your sins are forgiven you." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come today asking that you would be merciful to us according to your loving kindness. According to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out our transgressions, wash us from our sins. And we thank you that your Spirit awakens our consciences to the reality of our sins. You break our bones so that we might sense this great need for the physician, our Lord Jesus, who came not to call the righteous, but sinners. He came to heal the sick, and that is us. O God, we pray that you would make us to hear joy and gladness. Give us that experience. We don't want joy and gladness that comes from numbing ourselves to sin, from distractions, from earthly pleasures. We want the joy and gladness that comes from the Spirit of God and the words of Christ. And now we take a moment to each confess our own sins before the Lord.